But what I want to talk about, I can give you kind of the theme of it, is that living in countries like Australia, in the wealthy nations of the Western world, we live very privileged lives. And we have so much laid on for us. And where we've drunk that sense of entitlement and live according to it, we don't experience a depth of hunger or thirst for things. Mind you, if the advertising industry had their way, you would be craving all kinds of things, because that's why billions of dollars are spent on advertising, is to connect with some unmet need in a person's life to build a craving for, I don't know what, Big Macs, Cadbury's chocolate, anything. But because we live in a sort of a very wealthy nation, so much is just handed to us. So much is within easy reach. It's not difficult to live a relatively comfortable life. Now, I know it's all relative, and so we always want more, and whatever, wherever the ceiling is, we want to reach beyond the ceiling or whatever, because it's part of our fallen human nature to do that. And so wherever we sit, if we just compare ourselves with ourselves, we just compare ourselves across the city or across the nation, we get this pecking order and go, oh, I want more. But if we stand back and we're able to plot the world's population as a pyramid, and like the top, I think it's about 4 or 5%, we sit in there, all of Australia sits in there in terms of the wealth of the world. We are very entitled, privileged people in natural terms. And I'm not talking about that kind of wealth today necessarily, I don't think, but really just to see how that can play a trick on our minds of our... How we just learn to live our life with whatever comes our way, because I'm here. So we don't necessarily think like we deserve it, but we think, well, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. We don't necessarily go out fighting. We don't go out fighting for something. We don't go out looking for something. So I want to bring that whole idea and that type of an understanding into the realm of talking about faith. That, by and large, the faith, the expressions of faith in the Western world is quite passive. It's quite, let's see what happens, or what's that, that expression, what will be, whatever happens, whatever. So let's see. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. Rather than going, no, I'm staking my life on this. So I just wanted to look at some stories from the scripture around that. So Jesus was on his way to heal a man's daughter. This is in Luke 8, and I'm reading on from verse 42 onwards. It's a well-known story, but this is Luke chapter 8. So Jesus was on his way to heal a man's daughter who was dying. And as he was going, although a lot of crowd, there were a lot of people pressing in on him. There was crowds pressed in on him. And in the crowd, there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. And though she had spent all she had on physicians, no one could cure her. She came up behind Jesus and touched the fringe of his clothes. And immediately her hemorrhaging stopped. Then Jesus asked, he said, it's like all this crowd is moving with him. The woman just reaches through and touches the end of his clothes, and he stops and he goes, who touched me? Everyone denied it. I mean, it's funny when you think about it, because the crowd was pressing in on him. There would have been tens, multiples of people were touching him. But they all denied it. And Peter said, Master, the crowds surround you and press in on you. But Jesus said, someone touched me in a particular way, and where we're getting to, and I want to make reference to it right now, is someone touched me with a particular force of faith. Someone touched me with a faith that would make a claim on my grace and power. Someone touched me, for I noticed that power had gone out from me. Imagine that. I noticed, Jesus says, I noticed. He's walking, there's a crowd, there's a throng, there's lots of conversations, there's noise. He's going to heal a dying girl, and this lady touches him. And Jesus says, I noticed somebody touched me. I noticed that power had gone out from me. When the woman saw that she couldn't remain hidden, that Jesus was intent on discovering the person that had made a claim on the grace of God on his life. Not to humiliate her in any sense, but he really was wanting to find out what God had done. But the woman had become convinced that Jesus was going to stay there and interview everybody until he found out who it was. Then she says, then the woman saw that she could not remain hidden. She came trembling before him and falling down before him. She declared in the presence of all of the crowd why she had touched him and how that she had been immediately healed. And Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. What a story that's there in the scriptures for us to read about. And what an example of this lady who had lived under Jewish law, pretty much isolated under the law, but she'd obviously heard about Jesus as a healer, heard about Jesus as someone who could love her, as someone who somehow she could get her healing from. And rather than make a scene, and actually it was illegal for her to be out in the public places with her condition, but she was hidden in the crowd and reaching through the crowd. I don't know what it was, but I could imagine that she's walking along and seeing as people are moving that she's reaching her hand through between people just to grab Jesus' cloak, whatever it was, his clothing. And that she had come to a place of faith in herself. It would be enough for her if she could just get hold of his clothing. Now, there was no revelation on touching clothing to get healed or anything like that, but she had just come to a place in God, I just want to touch him. If I can just touch him. And, of course, the rest of it's there in the story for us of what happened. But this is about a faith that presses through under illegal conditions. It was illegal. It was completely unreasonable for her to be there and doing that. And if she'd been found out, she would have been, who knows what would have happened to her. But in the face of all of that, I mean, we often think that we've got obstacles of fear and anxiety and that our faith isn't enough to press through. But I think this story shows us that any measure of faith is enough to press through. Under severe, I don't know what I'm not aware of what the penalties would have been, but they would have been social penalties, that she would have been exposed in some way and embarrassed and shamed. But she was moving in risk, in the riskiness of faith, of pressing through. And even there, when Jesus, I mean, nothing in Jesus was coming to shame her or expose her in the sense of trying to penalize her, but he was wanting to discover what the power and grace of God had done for somebody and to hold it up as an example. The fact that he did that meant that it could get written in the scriptures besides. So there she is. She's going, well, he's going to find it anyway, so I'm going to tell the whole story. And she tells the whole story of who she is and the condition she's had for 12 years and how she just wanted to press through and touch him. And then she knew she was healed, but Jesus says, your faith has made you whole, meaning your faith in him. Your faith to reach out and touch him, to receive your healing, has made you. You are whole for this reason. You are whole because you took risk. You took unreasonable steps. And under Jewish law, you took illegal steps to press in, to come into a social place where I was passing through on my way and to press through and to risk everything, in a sense, to risk everything, to press through and to touch him in order to have your healing. She went away healed, made whole. In our day, it's not illegal to reach out and touch Jesus. In our day, I mean, realistically, there's no shame in it either. I mean, you might meet a few people that come along and sort of try and bag you a bit, but what is that compared to what this lady was experiencing? So somebody's got a different opinion to you. What are they going to do about it? I mean, we really want to, and we really need to get desperate, find a desperation in God. Whatever it is that drives us, whether it's our need, sometimes we measure our desperation according to the seriousness of our need. But why can't we get desperate over a dislocated finger or absolutely anything? Because because it's no harder for God to deliver somebody, to heal someone of cancer, than it is to heal a broken finger. It's the same power at work. It's the same love at work. It's the same grace that covers all of that. So no matter where we are in God, we don't want to be held up in our thinking like, my condition is not serious enough, I don't feel desperate enough, I'll just put up with it, it's just a finger after all, or it'll get better in time. Why wouldn't we take it to Jesus, whatever it is, whatever our condition is? Jesus is the healer. If Jesus has said he's the healer, then he's there. He's the one to go to for healing. If Jesus is the healer, Jesus is the one to go to for healing. That's what this lady thought anyway. And Jesus commended her for it. Just finish off the story. He said to her, daughter, actually just stay with that word. Daughter, because Israel was a kind of a male-led society, the way that Scripture is written is written a lot from the male perspective, and it's written a lot about sonship, when really what sonship really pertains to is about the children of God, male and female. But here, Jesus calls her daughter. As often we can read about sons. Now here, he's identifying her as a daughter of God because of her faith in him. Daughter. Now I know that that could just be a term of endearment, but there's more going on there, I believe, that he's identifying her as someone who pressed in and made her claim on God by believing in Jesus. He says, daughter. Daughter of God. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. I love that. Your faith has made you well, go in peace. So that, and that's not just a nice blessing. That actually is the shalom of God. Go in peace. Go in the wellness that the grace of God brings to you. Go in the wholeness that the grace of God brings to you. Go in the contentment that knowing God and trusting God and believing in God brings to you. The fullness of it. Go in peace. Peace. Peace is a big deal, not just a nice little saying. Jesus isn't just saying, see ya, go in peace. It's not what he's saying. He says, go in peace. He's communicating the peace of God to her, the wellness, the wholeness, the integrity of her life, the established and renewed relationship between her and God through her trusting in Jesus. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the encouragement of God is for us to take whatever measure of faith, and it's not about how much faith we have, it's whether we have faith, is to take that measure of faith that we have and touch Jesus. Reach Jesus and touch Jesus. On behalf of our own need, on behalf of our family, our friends, wherever, it's all about reaching through, pressing through, under possibly unreasonable or even illegal circumstances. I mean, probably not enough time to talk about this, but all the testimonies that where we know in countries where it's illegal to talk about Jesus, or it's illegal to offer Jesus to somebody, that people are still pressing through to bring Jesus under threat of death, under threat of imprisonment, under threat of punishment, reaching through. You may have seen in the newspaper recently of that man who's been a missionary in Hong Kong since 1964, I think it was. He's from New South Wales. And he got arrested in North Korea. Did anyone read that story? What an amazing thing that he did. He prints up his own tracts. I mean, he's been doing this for years anyway, but he just got caught this time. But he just prints up little parcels of 200 tracts, puts them in his pockets. Interesting little pocket thing about his pockets is he must have little clips in them because he goes onto trains. When you're in North Korea and you're a visitor, you have a monitor that's with you all the time, just someone that shadows you, doesn't watch you from a distance, stands next to you, could tread on your toes, it's that close. So this monitor, and so his only opportunity that he discovered was he could release his tracks through his trouser legs onto trains, crowded trains, and then when he gets off, the monitor gets off with him, and he leaves a few hundred tracks on the train for people to pick up and read about Jesus. I mean, that's kind of reaching through to touch Jesus and to trust Jesus, that he's sowing, as best he is able under those conditions, the news of Jesus Christ. He's been in Hong Kong since 1964, apparently, but he's doing things like this. Desperate measures under difficult circumstances. That's what this lady was experiencing. Or let's look at this other story of another lady. This is Matthew 15, verse 21. This one is about the lady known as the Syrophoenician woman or Canaanite woman. So it says that Jesus left the place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And just then, a Canaanite woman, some translations have Syrophoenician, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting. Oh, that'd be pretty weird, wouldn't it? Jesus is just coming through and a woman comes out and starts shouting at him. What's going on? Have mercy on me. And then we hear what the words are that she's actually shouting. She's shouting it. I mean, imagine shouting. Imagine raising your voice. Imagine having the gumption, the courage to lift your voice and begin to shout at Jesus. Could you do that? On behalf of yourself or a family member or a friend or a work associate, could you shout, could you lift your voice to Jesus? Create a commotion. In our kind of polite society, we might think that that's unreasonable. You don't have to get so emotional. What are you getting all worked up about? He can hear you. Says she starts to shout at him. She says, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he didn't answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away. Tell her to go away. She keeps shouting after us. She's creating this commotion, this stir." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So he says, my mission is scoped to Israel. I know where I've been sent to Israel. He wasn't being mean to her. He's being faithful to his father. He says, I've been sent to Israel. But she came and knelt before him. So there she was shouting, creating this commotion and shouting after them. And then he says, I can't. I'm going to Israel. Then it says she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered, It's not good to take the children's food, the children's bread, and throw it to dogs. Now that's a saying that he used, and in the context, the literal interpretation of that is what he was doing in bringing healing and deliverance was to Israel was bread for the children. The father's bread for the children was to release healing and deliverance. And he said, it's not good for me, or it's not right or good for me to take this children's bread and give it to dogs. Whoa. He's putting her as a dog. She said, she doesn't faze her. She says, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Get that? This is a woman who's prepared. She's shouting, shouting, shouting. Then she's on the floor, bowed down low. Then she's lower still. I don't know how you get lower still. She's down on the floor. Lord, please help me. She says, it's not right for me to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. It's just going, yes, Lord. But even the dogs eat crumbs from their master's table. How low can you go in order to receive grace? And that's where the woman just wanted the grace and the power of God for her. Then Jesus answered her and said, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed instantly. Woman, great is your faith. You've got great faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. That's a lady who was behaving totally unreasonably. She was just she was a Syrophoenician. She wasn't a Jew. She was pressing a claim on Jesus, who was Israel's Messiah. He'd been sent as Israel's Messiah to, in his ministry when he was upon the earth, to Israel. And Jesus even referred to that. Then he talked about his ministry of bringing healing and deliverance to Israel as the Father's bread coming from the Father's table. He was bringing bread from heaven to feed the children of God, Israel, at the time. And there was nothing for this lady. Jesus is saying, there's nothing here for you. I've been sent to Israel. The bread has been designated for Israel for their healing. There's nothing here for you. Then she's just saying, yes, I understand. She's not denying anything that he said. But then she's saying, but even crumbs fall off the table and dogs can eat that. And Jesus can't deny her. He cannot deny her. She's right in that realm of being completely undone, completely vulnerable, completely 100% at the mercy of God. She's got no other hope in heaven or on earth. There's nothing else going on for her. And so there she is, right there on the ground, saying, I just want a crumb. I just want to have this a crumb. A crumb will fall. And Jesus allows it. He allows it. Yes. He said, woman, great is your faith. Go. Go in peace. Your daughter is made whole. In the Western world, in the wealthy part of the Western world, we can become so self-satisfied that sort of thing wouldn't even necessarily enter in to our understanding of how to lay ourselves before God in order to have what we need. And everything's changed, of course, since that story. Since that story, Jesus has been crucified, raised from the dead, the Holy Spirit's been poured out, and God has opened the gospel to the whole world, to all the nations of the world. So everyone's included in Christ. And everyone being included in Christ means it's no longer has to be about crumbs. It actually is about bread. And this is a really, really great thing to see into in the scriptures, that the Father's desire to heal and deliver his children is the same as bread. It's giving them bread. And you know the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? Give us today our daily bread. That bread, as well as being the provision for our natural life and everything that we need, is actually everything from the Father's table. Give us everything that's from your table for us. Healing, deliverance, salvation, wholeness, fullness, grace upon grace, empowerment. All of that and so much more. It's for the children, for us. We're the children. Healing is the children's bread. The Father's heart is to heal his children, to heal his children. So even if we want to think in terms of like sore fingers, then think in terms of crumbs. But don't deny yourself the Father's grace and bread. Don't deny yourself. Whatever thing we feel might be so insignificant, the Father just loves you. The Father's bread is for our healing. The Father gives us bread for healing. Healing is the children's bread. It's the way he feeds us. He feeds us to make us whole. He feeds us with his grace and goodness and power in order to make us whole and to build us up. He wants us whole. He wants us whole. He doesn't want us limping through life or, just whining or complaining or just putting up with stuff. I mean, we do go through stuff, but God doesn't put sickness on our body or pain in our life. The sufferings of Jesus is of a different kind. The sufferings of Jesus is in the realm of warfare, of dealing with the enemy, and of getting a grip on the enemy's throat in order to put him down. And he actually did that through his dying on the cross, that his suffering on the cross on behalf of that, in order to defeat the enemy, in order to overcome the spirit of the world, and in order to condemn our sin in his own body so that we might go free in life. He's purchased it all. He's purchased it all. He's paid for it all. He wants us alive from the dead. He wants us raised up into heaven and ruling and reigning in life. He wants us made whole in the name of Jesus. And we are between the ages. And so whatever we see isn't the end of the story. That we want to keep pressing through. We want to keep pressing our claim and press through, because the kingdom of God is now, but not yet. It's not here in its completeness, but it is actually here. And so because it's here, we're in the kingdom of God, making a claim on behalf of ourselves and others that the kingdom of God would rule and reign, that the very reasons, very things for which Christ died and purchased are ours, and we want them. We want them now. We want to keep pressing through. Like this lady with the hemorrhage, like this Syrophoenician woman who knew there wasn't anywhere else for her to go. And then just finally, this end of that story, after dealing with this Syrophoenician woman and seeing her daughter set free from the demon, it says, after Jesus left that place and he passed along the Sea of Galilee and he went up the mountain where he sat down. And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the maimed, the blind, the mute, and many others. All the kinds of medical problems and health issues that you could think of. The deaf, the blind, the maimed, the lame, those who couldn't walk, those could just sort of stagger, and many other things that people were suffering with. It says, and they put them at his feet, and he cured them. I just love the brevity of Scripture, the efficiency of the writer. It says, look, all these sick people were just brought to Jesus, and he cured them. I mean, just in those few words, there's a lot going on, and he cured them. I mean, imagine a family member was blind and you brought them to Jesus and he cured them. What would flow from that? And then another person was paralyzed from the waist down and couldn't walk and was carried there, and Jesus healed them and they stood up and walked home, jumping and dancing and carrying on, and everything that flowed through that family life. And that's just sort of two examples, and there are many here. It says, and he cured them. I mean, just imagine the waves of compassion and grace and thankfulness and gratefulness and praise to God and the joy that flows into people's lives as Jesus just heals them. That's what he does. That's what he does. Healing is the children's bread. The Father gives his children bread of the healing. He wants to heal. He heals. In our world, kind of like in the Western world, we have to say it like this. He wants to heal and he heals. But he heals. And he cured them. And he cured them. So the crowd was amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they praised the God of Israel. And they praised the God of Israel. Jesus is defeating his enemies on every side. He regards his enemies as anything that is set to destroy his own people. So that our enemies are his enemies. That whether it's cancer, whether it's emphysema, whether it's blindness, hearing loss, whatever it is, Jesus regards that as his enemy. And he comes to destroy it. He comes to heal our lives and set us free from those enemies. He wants his people whole. He wants his people whole. Just to take courage with both hands and just what bit of faith we have and just reach through to touch him or to just bow down and say, God, I'll just be happy with a crumb. Just a piece of bread will make me whole. A piece of bread from the Father's table will make me whole. Just to press in with Jesus and bring whatever conditions we have and to just stand there and let him cure us. Let him cure us. I encourage you. Just to. I'm sure you've been doing this in your life, but if you haven't, then start doing it. If you have, I just encourage you to do it more. But just continue to press in upon him, to lay a claim upon him, to lay your hand upon him and receive your healing, to hear him speak to you and to receive power and grace imparted to you as you touch him, as he touches you. And we've only looked at two stories today, and there's so many different stories and different variations of people touching him, him touching people, him speaking a word, the power of God is present to heal, and God moves in quite an abundant way. So many different ways. There's no one particular formula for receiving healing, but the consistent reality that is always present in the stories of Jesus' healings and deliverances is that the Father loves people and wants us made whole and set free. And as we learn to live our life in his love, as we remain in his love, more and more we hear the Father's heart, we receive the Father's love and an understanding, a revelation that he wants to heal us. He wants to make us whole. So let's pray together now and then we'll close.